Welcome to the third episode of View for the Bridge for the 3rd of November 2005. My name is Patrick Smith, and with me as always is Aaron Kernahan. How are you doing, Aaron?
Not too bad, Paddy. Bit of a cold, but I'm sure I'll cope.
Yeah, actually, you threw it. Have a beer. An action-packed week, Aaron. We've got a lot to talk about. For those who haven't heard this show before, we're basically going to be talking about the Coors Belfast Giants in the UK Elite League, giving you all the news, views, and, well, our own little bit as well. If you ever want to contact the show, you can get to us at podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. You can call us on 0141-416-1296, or you can visit our website at kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast. This week, we're just going to run you through what we usually do, last week's games, talk about a bit of team news, a lot of team news this week, look around the league at what's going on, looking forward to this weekend's games, and this week we're going to throw in a couple of extra things. We're going to look at what's going on the Kingdom of the Giants website and talk about a few emails that we got. So maybe we should kick straight into it, shall we, Owen?
Yeah, well, indeed, yep.
On Friday night, we travelled down, well, I just about made it thanks to traffic, travelled down to Sheffield to see the Steelers. In my opinion, it wasn't that good a game, was it, mate?
It wasn't a great game, but I mean, we're 1-6-2, so we're not going to complain too much.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers were a very poor side, I thought, sort of starting from the goalkeeper all the way to the forwards.
Yeah, Jody Lemon didn't have a very good game at all.
No, he gave up a lot of rebounds. He let in a couple of, well, one very soft goal from Lee Jameson.
Mm-hmm. Well, he couldn't do very much about a goal from Theo Fleury.
No, not many could have. I think that was a bit of NHL class.
Theo coming down the right and absolutely hammering it from quite a bit of distance into the top of the net. Yeah. It drew quite a cheer from the Giants fans who, have come to expect this from Theo.
But, what I thought was even better about it was he used that goal to his advantage later in the game, and with a bit of a dummy, he dropped out. He went in, was about the same spot, faked a shot from the same spot, ducked his shoulder, dived out to the right, pulled the two defensemen with him, and then passed it back between them, and there was Ed Courtney standing on his own in front of the goal to score.
Pure class. I'd say Todd Kelman was on form as well, two goals,
a great shot that hit the bar would have given him his second Giants hat trick, I think.
Yeah, and his first goal was quite good because he took it. He had a puck all alone in the slot, hit it a whack, as they say here, at Jody Lemon, who couldn't hold on to it. Came right back at him. He wasn't going to miss the second time.
No, well, Jody Lemon was lying on his back, I think, for the second shot. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He just took his time and slotted it home.
And some of the Steelers' old guard not really performing. Mike Perron.
Very poor game, and then he showed how he felt, I think, towards the end of the game where he waved his white flag in the penalty box.
Yeah, referee Carson didn't like that, though. Didn't kick him out of the game. Mel Engelstad got kicked out of the game for the same thing only at the start of the season.
Well, it was more or less kicked out of the game. There were only 9 minutes left, and he got a 10-minute misconduct, yeah. So it had the same effect, really.
So you can get much more. Well, in fact, just going back to Jody Lemon, there's a lot of discussion between ourselves and the pub afterwards about whether we think Jody Lemon is as good this season as he was last season, or is he overrated?
I think he's probably as good this season. The difference being the defence that's playing in front of him. Mm-hmm. Last year he had Neil Martin, the MVP of the league, and obviously Wade Bielak, who maybe at an NHL level isn't particularly good. But at our Elite League level, with his size, was just able to stand there and clear any rebounds Lehman gave up.
Yeah, it seemed to the defence last season were able to clean up anything that bounced off him, which he doesn't seem to have this season. Like I say, the Steelers side are very lacklustre. Not the Steelers side of old.
No, they seem to be very, maybe not fully committed to one another. I think that seems to be the main thing. And certainly not standing up for each other too much either.
And talking with a lot of the fans, a lot of them aren't happy. But, well, can you blame them?
No, there's been a couple of changes over the... Well, one change, they've got rid of Regan Kelly, so we'll see.
Well, you travelled back on Saturday morning and to see the game against the Racers in the Odyssey. How did that go?
Being the fifth game, I think, in 8 days, you could tell it was the fifth game in 8 days, I think, for the Giants. Seemed to be very tired, but in saying that, they did control the game. It was a comfortable 2-0 win. Quite an early goal got us 1-0 up, and then we had to wait a while for the second insurance goal. But throughout the game, apart from a couple of chances for the Racers, which were well saved by Mike Menard, they didn't really offer too much of an attacking threat. Sean Skihar got another goal to keep his point streak rolling. It was a bit of a lucky one. Theo Fleury fired a shot, it hit him on the back and dropped into the goal, but mm-hmm. every point counts.
Yeah, the Theo as well, but I may as well talk a wee bit about Theo, considering probably a lot of listeners are here to hear about him. He's keeping up his point streak going. He's really pushing his point streak.
He is, yeah. I think he's up to... there's different reports going around. The Elite League site has him on around about 19 points in 7 games, I believe.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. That's a fantastic record, either way. It can't be far off, to be honest, because... Yes, he was. I think he was credited with an assist on Saturday night that he, well, maybe wasn't entitled to.
Well, I certainly didn't see him involved in the goal, but that's a sign of real class. Tony Hunt managed to do it from the bench last year. So
I say Sean Burns as well, if I remember rightly. When Sean Burns came back to us for a second stint in the Giants shirt, he was credited with a goal that Brad Kenny scored, and it was even better when, just like Tony Hunt, Sean Burns was sitting on the bench at the time. It's the class of the gentleman, I have to say.
Other than that, I thought Ladislav Kundra, or Kundra, or...
Yeah, I leave you to say that every week. Though.
Ladislav. Had a very good game. I think he picked up man of the match for the Racers, but he made some outstanding saves again. He really does look, in my opinion, to be the strongest goalie in the league.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's certainly one of the most enjoyable to watch. He's got a bit of a interesting style. He's very much relies on his reactions rather than his positioning, I think, at times. But
the other aspect of the game was maybe something that we expected and didn't really happen was Maxi, coach Dennis Maxwell, renowned for in the last period, in the end of the period, the final period, if his team were down, to send out the tough line. Didn't really happen.
High-sticking penalty in the last, with only about 5 minutes of the game left, which left the Racers a player down for the rest of the game. So mm-hmm. I think he just accepted, basically, that they were a beaten side, and there was no point in doing anything too stupid, which I was quite glad about, I have to say.
Yeah, well, can't complain. And maximum points from the weekend's games, so it really pushes well for us as we're fighting our way to this title.
It does, yes. And let's hope there's a few more weekends the same.
Moving on to a bit of team news. Something that happened over the weekend at the Steelers game, which was pretty unfortunate, was the injury to Curtis Hoope.
Yeah, no, it wasn't something I noticed happen myself. I believe what did happen, he was tripped and went feet first into the boards and managed to sustain a broken ankle.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a blow, really, considering that he has, 19 points in 15 games?
Yeah, he was. I think at the time he picked up the injury, I think he was the top goal scorer in the league, or certainly one of the top two goal scorers in the league with 11 goals.
It's great to see, considering that last season when he came over, he had a very slow start, but now he's really
Once he got up and running last season, he looked a good player, and he ended up again sort of near the top of the scoring charts towards the end of the season. So hopefully, with he hit the ground running this year, and even with this injury, hopefully once he gets back, he'll continue in that vein.
I think it's 6 weeks, is it?
They've said 6 weeks. It was a clean break, so it shouldn't take too long to heal. But I wouldn't be rushing him back. There's an interesting point brought up by Coach Courtney tonight on the news that he may be stepping aside soon. So it'd be interesting to see if anyone comes in to replace Curtis Hoppe.
Well, this is another one that points towards the rumor we talked about last week with Matt Reed and the return of Matt Reed. He could be brought in once again to cover for a player that we don't have.
Well, he did say whenever he left that he would be glad to come back, and he would certainly be available for injury cover, so I hope we can get him back. He certainly impressed the time he was here.
I'd like to see him come back to stay. A player of his standard shouldn't be really stepping in as a stopgap. I think he should be playing regularly, but we're glad we'll gladly have him on our team. Gladly.
Well, we have signed, obviously, young Colin Shields.
This is the news in the last couple of days. Yeah, 25-year-old centre from Glasgow, originally from Glasgow.
Yeah, he's originally from Glasgow. Moved to the States when he was quite young, I think. Mm-hmm. Played for the University of Maine Black Bears in the NCAA. Mm-hmm. for a few years, seemed a lot of good reports about him. He was drafted by the Philadelphia Flyers.
Back in 2000, yeah, 195th overall.
So obviously there was some talent showing there. A lot of good prospect as far as the Flyers were concerned.
And he came from moving on when he left University of Maine. He was with the San Diego Gulls in the ECHL, then moved around the ECHL with the Atlantic City Broadwalk Bullies, and of course the Grenville Growl, Grrrowl. Great name.
It's a fantastic name, isn't it?
Great name. It's right up there, isn't it?
It's interesting to see. I think he started off a training camp with the ECHL Alaska Aces this year, but he didn't make the final roster, as far as I can obviously tell, which is why he's been tempted back across the Atlantic to join ourselves. Saw a brief clip of him tonight on the news. He looked very quick. Obviously, not many of us have seen him. He's played for the last six seasons for Team Great Britain. With quite good success, 32 points in just 28 games.
Fantastic. It's good for a team. It's finally to get that, to fill that centre spot that has been quite empty for since the start of the season. They've been down to have. And again, it's another push maybe for Coach Courtney to head towards the bench.
Well, he seemed to be hinting towards that himself tonight, Ed Courtney. So I think it's something that's important for us. I think we do need to get him behind the bench, especially as the season draws on and we get to the more important games.
Well, he steps out of the Aussie for his first game on Saturday, so against Coventry. So hopefully he'll make the same sort of impression as our last debutant.
Well, if he can get us a win against Coventry, it would certainly be well loved by the Giants fans. It's a team we've struggled against over the years. I think we've only won against them once in really 2.5 seasons.
And they're struggling this year. They're not as strong as they seem to be. But we'll talk about them. We'll talk about them in a minute when we get to this week's games. What we'll do now is we'll quickly move on to we'll talk about what's going on around the league, shall we? Something that we touched upon last week, but I wasn't really keen on moving into, was the suspension to Mel Engelstad in Newcastle.
Yes, he received an 8-game ban for his slash to the head of Coventry Blazers Hutchins.
Jeff Hutchins, yeah. I was at that game myself, and well, I was quite vocal about it. To the point where I think a lot of the Newcastle fans on the Newcastle forums aren't pretty happy with me. But I stand by what I said. Basically, Engelstad went in with a boarding to Hutchins. Hutchins gave him a bit of a dig to the back of the head as a bit of a retaliation. Maybe he shouldn't have, but the reaction that came from Engelstad was ridiculous. Yeah, he looked at him, he lifted the stick, and he hit him around the side of the head, and his ban he thoroughly deserves, and I think he accepts that.
He's come out and apologised, which is a good thing. Hopefully he'll sit out his ban, and when he gets back, he'll control himself a bit better.
There was a lot of talk about this, what length the ban he got. The initial ban that he got was 6 games, and then that was reviewed by Andy French and videos and by the AHL and the referees, and it was extended to 8 games. Now, a lot of people had said that if it had been any more than 8 games, we may not have seen him play in this league again.
I don't know if that would necessarily be a bad thing. I don't think he adds much in a hockey sense to the league. He's certainly a tough guy, and he certainly will draw the crowd, certain people into the crowds.
You see, he's loved in Newcastle, but of course in Newcastle they play a different style of hockey, old time hockey, as the Hansons used to say. Tough hitting, tough fighting, and that's the sort of thing they like up in the Northeast. Necessarily, when it comes to us here in Belfast, well, we had him last season, and like yourself, I didn't think much of him as a hockey player. As a fighter, as a role playing fighter, maybe in AHL he's second to none, but as a hockey player, I'm not
he
impressed.
Just doesn't seem to quite have the skill that that we need in with sort of the shorter rosters in Britain, or in the UK.
Well, it's up to him to prove us wrong, really, isn't it? When he comes back, maybe he'll be a changed player, but we'll see. A couple of other things to talk about. Sunday's results. Giants didn't have a game on Sunday, playing on Friday and Saturday night, but there was a full programme of Elite Ice Hockey League games other than the Giants playing, and the results came out in favour of us.
Yep, things went pretty well for us without playing. I think all of sort of the teams we would consider to be our main rivals for the league this year are the teams that are certainly showing the early form. Newcastle, Nottingham especially.
Newcastle had a 1-1 draw with the Steelers, which is well, it's just it's a bonus to us, but especially with Nottingham dropping points and the Basingstoke of all teams.
Yeah, Basingstoke, I think Jamie Platt seemed to have played a blinder there. Made a lot of saves, only conceded the one goal. And Basingstoke, Sean Maltby picked up a hat-trick, and Basingstoke ended up winning 5-1.
And then one of our other...
In Nottingham as well.
Yeah, Nottingham, absolutely. And one of our other main contenders, well, one of the main contenders in my eyes, the Cardiff Devils, they went down to London and came back with nothing.
Just like ourselves earlier in the season, I think Lee Valley is going to be a tough place to go this year. It worked out well for us.
Hopefully, just to give you a quick, give the people a quick idea of how the league stands at the minute. Giants are top with 16 games played and 22 points. Before I move on to the other teams, one of the major stats I look at the table is the fact that we have 63 goals, and the next nearest is 29. That's a mountain.
It is. Now, obviously, we've played quite a few more games than the rest, based on sort of the other teams playing in the Challenge Cup.
So 63 goals in 16 games is a great record.
Four goals a game, basically.
Yeah. Moving down through the league table, you've got in second place Newcastle with 10 games and 14 points. Nottingham, 11 games and 14 points. Newcastle there looking the stronger of the two, but as we said a couple of weeks ago, whether they'll be able to sustain it or not is another matter. Cardiff, 10 games and 11 points. And then, of course, Sheffield, London, Coventry, Basingstoke and Edinburgh right at the bottom. Edinburgh fighting it tough, the new boys of the league. Then saying that, the other new boys of the league, the Newcastle.
They're going well. Edinburgh seem to have picked it up recently. They've had a few better results, seem to be conceding a lot less goals. I think they could play a good role as maybe the team that spoils it for the teams up at the top, you know, picking up the odd win here and there against the likes of maybe ourselves and Nottingham. And say maybe results against them could have a bearing on the final outcome of the league.
Absolutely. Yeah, indeed. Well, that's what's going on around the league. Of course, we've got a couple of games coming up this week on Saturday and Sunday, both against the same team, both facing the Grand Slam winning Blaze at home and away. What do you think?
I think it'll be interesting. I like the idea of back-to-back games. One in Belfast on Saturday, then over in Coventry on Sunday. I think it helps to build up a wee bit of rivalry sometimes, and things can maybe carry on over from one game to the next. I think, obviously, as I've said earlier, we've had a very bad record against Coventry. Yeah, we've only had one win against them in two seasons and a couple of fixtures this season. So it'll be interesting to see whether, you know, whether we can pick something up this time.
Comes so close last season with us coming second to them, and hopefully this season we'll be able to put one over on them. Yeah, come away with maximum points. Martin Klempa in the Coventry goal, of course, is a former Giant, but again, he doesn't seem like Jody Lemon. He doesn't seem to be the player he was last season.
He did tail off a bit last season, even playing for ourselves with sort of the heavy workload that he was expected to fulfil here. But I still think he has the ability to be one of the top netminders in this league, and I think he will come good at some point. Hopefully, it'll not be this weekend though.
Indeed, and the fact that this isn't the first time the Blaze have visited us in the Odyssey Arena, they came there at the start of October and drew 3-3.
Yes, I think that was one of the first games we had without our number two goalkeeper, Mike Menard and Chris McGimpsey.
Craig's stepping into the breach at that time and performing pretty well. Craig's still about, of course, and
yeah, he's still backing up Mike Menard at the minute.
Still waiting on Chris McGimpsey coming back, but this weekend's games will be interesting. The Giants, when it comes to back-to-back games with a home game followed by an away game, you always seem to have some sort of hangover where they play a good home game and then they go to the away game and capitulate. But there's something that doesn't happen this time.
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope 4 points this weekend would be very, very welcome. But any point that we can pick up in an away game is always important.
Well, of course, you can hear this week's game from on Saturday night on www.belfastgiants.com and another webcast from Nigel and Wayne. And what we're going to do now is we're going to move on and bring you a new article in the podcast. We're going to look at the Kingdom of the Giants website forum and see what's going on this week. One of the main topics was a poll started by Marty Mack, looking at who our biggest rivals are this season. So far, and there's been 149 votes, and The Cardiff Devils have come out top with 42%, with Nottingham with 35%. What do you think of that, Aaron?
That's certainly interesting. There's different ways you can take the poll. Some people have taken it to be who's going to be top of the league with us. Some people seem to have taken it as who we hate the most, basically. But I think looking at it from who will be our main contenders, as you say, for the league, I think Nottingham probably will be up there. They seem to have had a good start.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from that bad loss to Basingstoke, they seem to be quite a good offensive side with a good goalkeeper in Curtis Cruikshank. And as far as results between ourselves and them have gone, it's all even. We've won one, drawn one, and Nottingham have won one.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the talk in the ensuing thread from the poll is the fact that a lot of people have said, I've mentioned both Nottingham and Cardiff, but have only been able to choose one of the two. Like I said, Gonzo and Belfast Leaf and Bill, they all seem to, a lot of the posters seem to think that it's between one of the two or one of the three of us, of course.
Yeah, I would agree with that to an extent. I think Cardiff seem to be a team that have our number so far. They seem to just play a style that we struggle to cope with. We haven't beaten Cardiff at all this season.
And saying that, Basingstoke had that with us this year, but this is a different, sorry, last year, but this is a totally different kettle of fish, isn't it?
Well, exactly. Basingstoke, although they had our number last year, they weren't competitors. They were down towards the bottom. Cardiff, I think, will be up there. And if results between the top, between us and them favour one or the other, it could well be the difference between us at the end of the season.
I think it's almost time for us to wrap up, but before we do, let's have a look. We've been asking you for your comments and views and stuff over the last couple of weeks. Of course, this is our third show, and we'd just like to thank you all for all the emails that we received and the calls we received on the rant line. We're just going to have a look at a couple of these. Mainly just one email that we gained on just a couple of days ago from Jim Jaworski, the new owner of the Belfast Giants. He says, "Just want to drop you a short note to tell you what an excellent job you're doing. Thanks for the podcast. I listen to them on plane rides that I must take for business here in Canada. Keep up the excellent work." Well, just like to say hello to Jim and thanks for your support out there. It's very much appreciated as we try to continue these podcasts and whatever.
Yes, it's certainly pleasing to know that we're being listened to all the way across the water, and certainly by people with as much influence as are listening at the minute.
Yeah, of course we'd like to hear from everybody out there. Not just Jim, of course. You can contact us on podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com or call the rant line on 0141 416 1296. With regards to the rant line, we received this.
"Hi guys, really enjoyed your second show. I just would like to know how many of those 13 goals in that Sheffield game does Paddy remember? Thanks, and it's Marty from London. Bye."
That coming from Martin from London, of course. It's a familiar voice. I'm sure I've heard that voice before. In answer to your question, Martin, I don't remember seeing any goals. I don't know if I had my back turned or if I was talking to somebody. Yeah, there were 13 goals, but I don't think it's anything to do with any sort of alcohol content. Yeah, you saw me that night, Aaron. I was pretty sober, wasn't I?
In comparison to Hitchy, perhaps.
Thanks for that, mate. Okay, well, I think it's about time. On that bombshell, I think it's time we wrap things up. Just like to say thanks for yourselves listening. Thanks, of course, to yourself, Aaron. We'll do this again next week, yeah?
Yep, let's look forward to it.
Yeah, of course, you can hear the game live on www.belfastgiants.com on Saturday night. And we'll see you next time on a view from the bridge.
Cheerio.